Hey everybody, Pastor Kevin, thanks for joining us online. We're in a series entitled Empowered for Mission. We're in part 3, and we're looking at Acts chapter 3 today, 1 to 10, and probably actually 1 to 16. I'll read that to you. So if you have a Bible, grab that. It'll be on the screen for you. Let me pray for us, because I want to pray even in light of last week's message where we talked about from Acts 2, 1 to 13 there, where the Holy Spirit is poured out at Pentecost and how it empowers the people to do the mission of which God has called them to do. Jesus said, don't try to go do this mission, this great commission I've given you. Go and make disciples of all the nations without the empowerment of the Spirit. And so this is beautiful that we don't have to supply the power. He uses our hands and our feet, and he uses us to go and do the mission. But he says, I'll give you the power. I'll give you the strength. So it's so important to wait for that for the disciples in the context of chapter 2. And now, of course, the Holy Spirit has been poured out for you and I as well. And we can do this mission, this life. Everything has been given to us. God says he's given us all that we need for life and godliness. And he does that. He gave us the Spirit to empower us to fulfill and live life and do what he's called us to do. And so daily, you can say, Holy Spirit, fill me up afresh. We get the Holy Spirit at conversion, but he fills us up afresh. It's like, I guess it's just like a rejuvenated power daily to say, I'm yours, God. I trust you. I surrender afresh. I'm your child. And you're acknowledging where your source is, seeking him first every day, and empowered by his Spirit, we get to do his mission. So I want to look at this. You'll see in the book of Acts, there's just so many firsts. And of course, we see the first last week with the pouring out of the Spirit and empowerment of the Spirit. And today we're going to see that first miracle that comes post that moment. And it's an amazing miracle in chapter 3. So I got 3 points for you, and we're going to look at those verses. So here's the first point. Don't miss what God is doing. Don't miss what God is doing. And look at the chapter here. Look at the verse. Let's just read it, verses 1 to 3. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. So context is Peter and John are going, they're heading to worship, which they did regularly, and this is a normal routine, a familiar routine for Peter and John and for many others, and it was a normal routine for the lame man who was at the gate there begging for alms. And so a couple of thoughts underneath this, you know, be ready, right, for God to do. Don't miss what God is doing. And here's the first one. Pay attention in the familiar. Pay attention to the familiar. Every one of us have routines. Every one of us have familiar things we do every day. You go from your place of home to your place of work every day. You take the kids to school. Whatever it is, whatever your routines are, we all have them, and nothing wrong with that. But one of the things that's challenging is I think you can miss what God is doing, what he's up to, because you're so in auto mode, autopilot mode, if you will. And so be careful and be thoughtful and mindful and pay attention in the familiar. That's what's happening here. Peter and John are doing what they normally do. Again, they would do this 3 times a day. They'd go to the temple to pray. So it wasn't just a once a day thing, 3 times a day. And there they are at the ninth hour. And as they pass by this man, who they've passed by many times, because we know later that he's 40 years old. So, and he's been lame from birth. So he has been going his whole life, basically, to this spot. It could be that one spot. It could be a few other spots. We don't know for sure. But he's been there a long time. They've seen him before. Familiar. He's familiar. The situation's familiar. Everything's familiar. So as I was thinking about that, I just was thinking to myself, you know, the familiar activity, even of asking for alms, would have been common. For Peter and John, I'm sure he was there asking for alms, the same thing, and he was expecting to get alms. He was expecting somebody, hopefully, to give him a few coins. And so, because of this familiarity for the the layman and for Peter and John, we have to be careful. They had to be careful because it can blind you. Familiarity can blind you to the things that God is up to. And so we're talking about living a spirit-filled, spirit-led life, and familiarity can be a challenge to that. And so I want to give you the warning in the midst of the familiarity to really, really pay attention. Pay attention, because it can blind us. So now for the layman, this would have been his only means of provision. Remember, there wasn't a welfare system in that day. And so he had no other way to make a living. He had no other way to eat but to beg like this and to ask for alms. And so actually it was very common. And it would have been common as well as people went to the temple for them to give money on their way in or their way out. And it was considered a good deed for those in need. Nothing wrong with that. It's great. And so, but familiarity can blind us, as I mentioned, but it can blind us to our present need, or it can also blind us to our bigger need. Yeah. And so I've just been thinking about that a lot this week, about familiarity and the good of that and also the challenge with that. So this man, he's being really real. He needs money to eat. He's asking, nothing wrong with that. That was the situation he was in. But I wonder if he was thinking about anything beyond getting some coins. I think what's about to happen is going to surprise him and shock him. I don't think he was thinking about it. I don't think he was, there was no apparent, you know, indication of that here in the scripture. Because God wants to bring a long-term solution, but many times we're looking for short-term fixes. He'll provide for short-term things too, but he's interested in deeper needs. He's interested in bigger things many, many times. And this is a spirit-led thing. And so pay attention, of course, in the familiar. And then secondly, pay attention to the nudge of the Holy Spirit. Look what happens in verse 4-5. I love this. And it says, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter says, look at us. Look at us. He's speaking to the man and he says, look at us. And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Okay. So leave that on the screen if you would. So Acts 3 verses 4 and 5 here, he's imagine that so many people are probably walking by him constantly, hundreds and hundreds of people a day. Right. And when someone actually stops and turns toward this man, he's got to be going like, yes, going to make a little money here. I'm going to be able to eat today. Phew, yes. And so it says he's expecting to receive something. He's asking for money. He's expecting, because they stop, that he's going to receive something. And so this is good. They lock eyes and Peter's like, look at us. And so he's like, he's focused. He's looking at him because he's thinking, I'm getting some money. This is good. I need this to make it. This is how I make a living. And, he's expecting to receive. And so I just want to say, for Peter and John, what they did in this moment is, I believe they were nudged by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit nudged them. I believe they had a thought cross their mind out of left field, in a sense, that they weren't expecting in the middle of their familiar, but they were sensitive because they were filled with the Spirit. Remember, this is post-Pentecost. They're filled with the Spirit. They've been, you know, at the end of Acts 2, they've been doing life together, and miracles are happening around them. It doesn't tell us what miracles, but miracles are happening. This is the first recorded one post-Pentecost. And they're listening. They're tuned in. They're dialed. And they get a nudge to stop. And they also know, we'll find out in a minute, that they don't have any money. So the nudge wasn't give him money. The nudge was more than that. So the nudge of the Spirit in that moment was, I'm going to do something in this man that he's not expecting. You're the vehicle. You're the hands of which I'm going to deliver this miraculous moment. So stop, do it. Peter says, look at us. And what was beautiful is, as it says in verse 4, they fixed their eyes on him and he says, look at us. And he gives them he gave them his attention, expecting to receive. He's ready. He's stirred up. He's focused. And then they're going to find out that there's something incredible that happens here in just a second. But before I get there, I want to lean into this nudge of the Spirit thing here. And I want you to notice, and I think when you're looking for the nudges of the Spirit, one of the things you're paying attention to is who's ready to receive. Who's ready to receive? Is there anybody ready to receive? And it's sometimes so subtle. It's just a little thought that lights across the mind and you're like, and it kind of feels like it comes up from out of left field many times. And don't ignore that. But what you find when you say, Holy Spirit, fill me, you're freshly filled in your daily, in your normal familiar routines, you're asking God to show you and make you aware. And so that's what's happening here. And I believe you're going to see here in just a second that as a matter of fact, I don't know if I can go there yet. I don't want to go there. I want to say we're going to see in a minute what's activated here is a gift of faith, a supernatural gift. And they're going to, in a minute, they're going to say, rise up and walk. Right. But that's a gift. When you're working and operating in this filled with the Spirit, nudges of the Spirit, there's a group of gifts available to you and I, to all people who are followers of Jesus, that we have access to in situations like this. The nudge of the Spirit may be healing, but it may be to speak encouragement. It may be a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. It may be a miracle, like a really creative miracle. Let me read this to you from 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11. This is one passage where the gifts are mentioned. And look at this. This is the biggest list of the spiritual gifts. This is, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So same Spirit distributing the gifts. All right. And then verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? For the common good. So these gifts are to be a blessing to others. And so verse 8, to one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. Wisdom, supernatural wisdom in a situation. And then to another, a message of knowledge. Supernatural knowledge, not just regular knowledge, but the Holy Spirit giving you knowledge and wisdom into a situation, that's what we need. That's what you and I all need in many situations. We don't just need natural wisdom, natural knowledge. We need that too, but we need supernatural things that God can use. He can give you information of which you have no other access to in a situation through His Spirit. And I can think of situations like that. As a matter of fact, one of those nudges can be like that, where you get a nudge that's, hey, this person is struggling with this, or this person is incredibly anxious or fearful, or this person is suicidal, or this person is, and you wouldn't know it by natural means, but the Holy Spirit shows you. He's giving you knowledge that you wouldn't have knowledge of except He showed you. That's a gift in operation. That's the Holy Spirit in operation. And so verse 9, it says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts, multiple gifts there of healing by that one Spirit. So there's sometimes where our faith is, it's like you have just a bolstered faith for a situation or a person, or it might be in that moment where you need a healing. I think that's what's going to happen here is, as we continue in this, is Peter and John, they get nudged, and I think they sense and feel the faith arise. They've got this man's focus. He's expecting to receive. Of course, he's expecting to receive some money. But that, even that faith, I think, in him to go, I'm going to get some provision here. And Peter and John don't. They're like, yeah, you're going to get some provision, but it's way bigger than what you think and different than what you think. And I think that faith arose in them to do what God was calling them to do. And pray for him, and he's going to be healed. It's incredible. So look at verse 10, though. Just let me finish out this gifts passage. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. I think that's important to see. One and the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So we know we can, from 1 Corinthians 14, we can earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And when you're filled with the Spirit, that's just one of the benefit packages of being filled with the Spirit, is you have access to the gifts, and you can use the gifts in different situations in which, in the familiars of life or in the unfamiliars of life, God will use those. If you're available, if you're tuning in. And so that's why I'm saying to you, lean into the nudges of the Spirit, especially in the familiar. I think it's in the familiar routines where we just kind of go on autopilot that sometimes we are not expecting. You know, if you go on a missions trip, specifically go on a missions trip, you're kind of heightened to be like, I'm going to be really aware. But if you're just going to work or you're just doing your normal routine, sometimes we forget to ask God. So that's what I want to say to you is just a couple questions. To be keeping in your front of your mind every day, all the time. God, you nudging me right now? God, what do you want me to do right now? You nudging me? Is that a nudge? Because I always find it's typically very subtle. So be careful, be mindful, be paying attention to the nudges of the Spirit. All right, because we don't want to miss what God's doing. That's the first one. Second point is do take steps of faith. You should every day expect to take a step of faith. May not be a huge leap out like this one where they're praying for a man who's been lame for 40 years and he needs to get healed. I mean, this is an incredible healing and miracle. But God may do that. I mean, he may ask you to pray for someone like that. I mean, it takes courage, takes boldness. But remember, Peter and John, they've been exercising their faith muscles big time. By this point, they had 3.5 years with Jesus. They had been through Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit. They just saw 3,000 people come to Christ, and they've been, the supernatural activity is just incredible. They were praying for people to get healed and miraculous things are happening. And it says in Acts 2, many signs and wonders were done amongst the apostles. We don't have the recorded miracle until this one. This is the one example that Luke pens and writes out. And so, second point, take steps of faith. So let's look at verses 6-8. Back to the story in Acts 3. It says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. I got no money. We don't have any money right now. But what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. So Peter's saying, I got no cash. We got no money. I don't have that. But what I do have, I'm going to give you. And he steps out. He follows the nudge, takes a step of faith. Because Peter realized he wanted to do something bigger in this man than this man was expecting. And he had the courage and the boldness to step out and extend his hand, not just to pray for him, which was a first huge step, but then this man who's never walked, he would have no muscle, very little muscle, very little, is pretty basically just, I'm sure, just bones, you know, with a little skin on it, hardly anything. Boom, he's like, grabs his hand, it's like, rise up and walk, excuse me. And so you just, I mean, think about that. Like, you would have had to ignore the natural, what you were seeing, because you're like, this guy, this isn't like a guy that's just been atrophied for a year or two. No, think about the creative miracle. And as a matter of fact, that's something that Luke, as he writes this part in 7 and 8 here, he mentions the feet and ankle bones receive strength. So those are like medical terms that he uses in the Greek to describe like things are happening with the bones and the feet and the ankles that are medical. Like there's stuff is happening here that's beyond normal. It's supernatural. And so good. And but notice that he says, but in the name of Jesus Christ. I just want to say this clearly. Power is in Jesus. It's in him. The power is in Jesus. And naming Jesus and recognizing his authority is the power doing the work. And so it's not in us. The power isn't us doing the healing. It's the Holy Spirit given by Jesus flowing through us in his name in this situation. And that's what's happening with Peter and John. That's what happens with you and I. When we pray for somebody to be healed, it's God's power flowing through us by faith, and the power of God is doing the work in the person being healed, and that's what was happening here. And so the power is Christ's, but the hand is Peter's. You know, Peter still was participating. His part was getting his attention focused and praying it, and then extending his hand and going, all right, here's the way we test what God just did. Rise up and walk. I just like, yeah, my faith is so stirred to see more of this happen for you and I, that this isn't just something we read about in the Bible, but it's something that we see in our daily lives all the time. And I believe God wants us to do that and step out that way. Why? Because people need to not only know about God, they need to experience God. They need to experience His presence. And there are so many people bound and sick and hurting, and the results are in God's hands, but the nudges, He uses us, He delivers the miracles through you and I, His people. And so we need to be willing to be filled with the Spirit so that we have the courage and the boldness to step out and follow the nudges and leadings of the Spirit and notice when people are ready to receive, right? And that's a faith step too. It's like faith step after faith step after faith step. And so I just want to challenge us, think about this and ponder this. And so you might go, okay, Kevin, how do I recognize the nudge? I've kind of touched on it, but I put it on the screen for you, just a few thoughts. Pay attention to the subtle thought that maybe even you think comes out of left field. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore those subtle thoughts. Don't just dismiss it. Double check it. Lean in. Ask, God, is that you? Holy Spirit, is that you nudging me? God, is that you nudging me? Especially if you're like, that's so apparently random. I find when I think it's really random, and I can be a random guy, okay? Trust me. But when I'm thinking, why am I thinking about praying for that person right now? You know, like, I'm like, is that you, Lord? And I tell you what, pay attention. Pay attention, lean in. And then, you know, is it loving, encouraging, generous, and aligned with Jesus, that nudge? Take the step. You know, as long as it's not unbiblical, you know, filter it that way. Is this biblical or not? Is this loving? Is this encouraging? Is this generous? It's aligned with Jesus. Take the step. What about is it going to require faith and not just comfort? If it's going to require faith, there's a great chance God's involved. Okay, great opportunity there to test that, to lean toward yes. You know, if you think this is not in my comfort zone, that's a good indicator that God might be involved. He's not really about testing your He's not about testing you in the things you're really comfortable with. Because that's not going to stretch you. If you're super comfortable with it, you know, He may ask you to do something you're comfortable with. But if it feels like a stretch, don't ignore it. If it feels like a stretch going, God, is that you? Lean in. Don't shy away. All right. And if you're thinking, what if this is God? What if this is God? If it lingers and the thought is, what if this is you, God? That's a good indicator too. It's probably God, right? I know that you might go, Kevin, that doesn't seem like a science. It's not. It's called faith. All right. So third big thought is faith steps lead to more fruit. Let's finish the story. Acts 3, 9 to 10. It says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. So the people recognize this guy. I mean, they're like, this is the guy who's been sitting out there for all these years. The guy that has never walked before his whole life. And he's walking. Oh my goodness. This is amazing. And so they're blown away. They're filled with wonder. They're filled with amazement. This is getting a ton of attention. The people are, you know, coming out and they're like, what? What's happening here? That people saw him walking and praising God. Not just walking. That was enough of a miracle. But he's praising God. He's like, because he knows Peter and John, like, this is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he's like, this is what Jesus does for people? Wow. So incredible. And so here he is in this moment. It's so incredible. And Peter makes it clear. This isn't Peter and John that are doing this. It's Jesus, right? And so I just want to read to you as we wrap this thing up a bit, is in 11 to 16. Because if you read, I want you to at least read chapters 3 and 4 together, because the narrative here is important, because what you're going to see is this miracle, this incredible miracle that Luke records happens, and it gets a lot of attention. And then, of course, some of the religious leaders are there, and again, they're trying to, some people are trying to squelch what's happening in the city in Jerusalem at this time after Pentecost, because, you know, 3,000 people had come to Christ. I mean, that's a massive outpouring of God's Spirit and transformation and change. And so they're going to encounter opposition. We're going to see here that Peter preaches again. And if you keep going in chapter 3 to chapter 4, we see he preaches, and a lot more people thousands more come to know Jesus. And then there's opposition and resistance. They get arrested. There's opposition and arrested. They're questioned. And you see that they have to make a choice, basically. They're basically like, you can't do this anymore. And they're like, and then at the end of chapter 4, they go into a big prayer meeting, and out of the prayer meeting, they pray, God, help us be more bold. Help us be more courageous. So look what happens here in verses 11 to 16. It says, now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. So there he is. He's holding on to him. He's probably like, remember, he didn't even know how to walk. I mean, he'd never walked before. And all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And so, wow, incredible. Verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. Look what Peter does. Peter, this is who just preached an amazing message last chapter, in chapter 2, and 3,000 came to Christ. And he's like, another opportunity. Anytime there's a miracle, anytime there's a healing, a testimony, anytime somebody gets saved, that is testifying of God's transformative power. It's his life-changing power. And that gets people's attention. That's good, because then there's an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with them. So look what he does here. Men of Israel, verse 12, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness, we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go. Verse 14, but you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Remember Barabbas? And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. So they're making it clear, before I read verse 16, they're making it clear, listen, this miracle, this man walking, is not us. It's Jesus. It's Jesus's power flowing through us that made this man walk. You killed him. You denied him. But then look what it says in verse 16. At his name, and his name, Jesus's name, through faith in his name, in Jesus, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He's like, this man is sound. He's whole. He has been restored physically. And he's praising God because of it. That's all happened because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one you just crucified, who rose again. He's the one. And they're basically proclaiming, and this thing you tried to squelch by killing him isn't working. It didn't work. And so this is just so beautiful. And again, he preaches, and a bunch more people are going to come to Christ after this. But to wrap this message up, I just want to say this, that I believe this healing power of Jesus is still true for today, for us, for you and I. And I think many times in the church, we don't step out in faith. And many times in our daily lives, we don't step out in faith. We don't pray for those people to be healed. Or we have, and we didn't see it happen, so we just stopped doing it. We got discouraged. And as a matter of fact, there's a lady in our church, her name is Stacy, and she just last Sunday, we had a time where we prayed for people to be healed, and there was a word of knowledge about someone with a left rotator cuff needing to be healed, and a shoulder, left shoulder. And as I was talking with her post, she said, I didn't think that was for me. As a matter of fact, I was thinking it was for a friend, and I ended up just started praying for that friend of mine, because I know they needed some healing. But she goes, but I went down for prayer, and Pastor Largent prayed for me. And as Pastor Largent was praying for me, he because she said, I asked for prayer for my left shoulder. And she says, because it's been frozen, like she said, for over like a year. She like super painful to try to lift her arm, super painful to, like, she couldn't rotate it, couldn't move it. It was just frozen. And she'd had that prior in her history in her right shoulder. Well, this time for the last year, it's been her left shoulder. And so she goes, frankly, I've been kind of discouraged around the area of healing. I know God can heal me eventually, and I will be healed in heaven, and I believe it's available. But I just, for myself, I almost have more faith, she said, to believe for other people than for me. And so she goes, but I went down for prayer, and when Pastor Largent prayed for me and he was praying for my shoulder, he said, so you're the left shoulder. You're the one. And she was kind of like, oh. And, well, anyway, Pastor Largent prays. And so that was on Sunday. And so then Monday morning, I was just having my quiet time, and this gal's name came to my mind. I got a nudge of the Spirit to reach out and just text her. So I just texted her and I said, hey, how's your shoulder? How's your shoulder doing? And she texts me back and says, wow. And then her text was kind of like, Kevin, this is amazing. Like, I'm now testing my shoulder and I have full movement in my shoulder and no pain. Like, it's not frozen. I actually can move it. And I haven't been able to do that for a year. And since she gets on Marco Polo, another app where it's a video app, and she sends me a video of herself raising her shoulder up and rotating her shoulder and just doing full movement with a big old smile on her face. And she's like, I can't believe it. My shoulder is healed. I'm experiencing a full blown healing right now. And so I'm like, awesome, amazing. And so she's like, I'm on my way to work. I said, tell everybody you can. And so she's been telling everybody this week what God did for her after, and like she said, she's not somebody who has really received healing like that. She's got a history of autoimmune stuff and quite a few things that she's been prayed for over the years. Well, but this time, God's timing, it was her time. And her shoulder, and I just communicated with her today, just reached out and said, how's the shoulder? She says, still awesome. I'm just doing great. And so I just want to encourage you. That's a testimony, real time, this week, of someone who got prayed for and they got healed, right? Beautiful. That happens through regular people like you and I, right? Who follow the nudges of the Spirit, who pray for people with faith to be healed. And look what God does. It's His power working. So I want to pray for you and myself that we would be more bold, more courageous, that we would step out of our comfort zone, that we would notice in the midst of the familiar what God's doing. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for how you move in us and through us. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your healing power. Fill us afresh with your Spirit today. Lord, that we would be those who would walk fully in all you've called us to. We would be accessing the gifts of the Spirit, especially this one about healing, Lord, and faith for that. And Lord, and stepping out in small ways and big ways to follow the nudges and leadings of your Spirit. We love you. We thank you. Bless everybody tuning in. If someone listening doesn't know Jesus, you can surrender your life to Jesus right now. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I give you my life. I surrender my heart and my future to you. I want you to lead me from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. Have a great week.